Welcome to episode 175 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Recently, you'll remember I asked for your feedback regarding the podcast, specifically whether you'd also like to see a video version each week. This had been casually mentioned in the past, but I wanted to gauge opinion properly. Well, the response was unanimous. It was a definite yes, and so I've now begun my initial tests, working through the logistics of how I can make this happen for you. In this week's show, I'm out on location with a fellow photographer, discussing the how, when, and why of bringing out this new content. As an aside, I have a special announcement to make this week at the end of the episode, so please do make sure you listen right to the end. For now though, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 175. It's just after 3:30 in the afternoon, and I'm sat in the middle of a bluebell woodland. Now, this time of year, of course, bluebells are pretty much everywhere in ancient woodlands. This is actually quite interesting for me this year, in that there are bluebell woodlands that I usually go to, which I expect to have the bluebells there in huge quantities, but where we are is actually where I often come to do recordings or test or review and this sort of thing. And the bluebells are here, and they're not usually. This is the first year that I can remember them being here. Anyway, enough waffle. I'm here with my good friend Glenn, who himself is a photographer. And we've just been having a bit of a... Well, what shall we call today?
Let's call today a trial by fire.
Trial by fire, yeah. It's basically... the background to this is... You guys have said recently that you would like to see a video version of the podcast, and who am I to deny my people what they want? So I have started to do some tests, and Glenn has very kindly offered to help me. So we headed out into the woods here, and we actually sat, you may or may not be able to hear, it's just started to rain. We're sat beneath the tarp, we've got all of our kit, we've just finished actually. And just having a bit of a play around, really. I mean, I'm one of these people that don't, up until this point, I haven't really shot a lot of high-definition film. You guys know that for the YouTube channel, I do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But it really was, as Glenn said, it was just a day of trial and error to see what's likely to work. So I don't know, Glenn, what is our starting point for this, really, what to talk about. Maybe let's start with the kit that we're using, because a lot of people are listening to this because of the kit. I'm a Nikon man, Glenn's a Canon man. Tell us what camera or what setup you've got, because you've been doing some behind the scenes stuff along the way as well.
Yeah, so I am a Canon man, and I just wanted some simple kit today, so I've brought along my Canon 60 SLR, and I've got two prime lenses. So I've got a 35 f2 and an 85 1.8.
And we were saying, and we've recorded some sort of behind the scenes videos, we've gone along, but in the process of that, we're actually saying that, you know, prime lenses are fantastic. If those of you that, you know, are listening that don't know what a prime lens is, we're so used now to lenses giving us the chance to vary the focal length, so you don't have to compose by walking over to your subject or framing up. You can just turn the focus ring, the zoom ring, and you go from, for example, 80 to 200 mil and what have you. A prime lens is a fixed focal length lens, and there are advantages to using those lenses. Traditionally, they tend to be incredibly sharp. They tend to be the aperture you're looking at, f1.4, 1.8, you know, lots of light coming in there. They're great for low light situations. They're not perfect for everything, but if you haven't ever tried a prime lens, just go to one of these rental places, hire one out for a week or a weekend and try it. So Glenn, you've got your Canon kit. Just to fill in the blanks, I've got two cameras with me today. not because I necessarily needed two cameras, but because I, a number of days ago, was sent by Nikon the D810 for test and review. And a lot of you know that I shoot on a D800, and this is a D810, sort of the latest version. And I've just started to play around with that, and certainly to shoot video. Glenn, you know that I've, you know, have shot stills for many years, but
of course.
You know, what is your reaction to how I've been dealing with this kind of updated camera and the fact that I was shooting video?
Out of your comfort zone, I think. I mean, it's quite interesting in terms of going into that video mindset. There's a lot of things you have to do differently, obviously. The way the camera works is a lot different. So, yeah, I think overall it's been quite a steep learning curve, especially when you have two cameras. Although, how are you finding the D810 compared to your 800?
Well, there's a lot, as you'd expect, a lot of it is very similar, if not identical. But there are certain things that, certainly with stills, I can tell you that I've found that with the 800, I had to be so precise with my focusing that typically I start at f8 or maybe f6.3, f5.6 as an absolute minimum to make sure that I've got a bit of leeway to still throw the backgrounds out of focus. But, you know, the focus has to be so accurate that you can go too far. You know, you can focus accurately, but it's still not quite right.
Yeah.
You know, what I found with the 810 is that all of a sudden, I don't know what they've done. I know what they have done. They've taken my money a couple of years ago and they've upgraded the camera. But the other day I was shooting on a prime lens down to something like f1.4 in a situation where I would normally have to stop it down to, or, you know, just set an f8, for example. So that's really good. The ISO, the high ISO noise seems to be, I guess, improved a little bit. It's kind of still early days. But that's the thing that's really kind of... That and the colour of the digits, the readouts through the viewfinder has changed. That's really important. But in terms of video, it's too early to say, because what I've been doing, or what we've been doing, is... and I apologise now if there's sort of a bit of wind noise around the microphone. I don't have a shield over it today, so we're doing our best here. But what I'm actually finding is that with the video side of it, not a lot of difference between the two. Lovely quality coming out of the 810. But as we said in conversation previously, you know, they're just tools.
Absolutely.
What you're seeing through, you know, on the preview screen and what have you, that's what's important. So let's just talk about the logistics of what we're doing here. I don't know if I finished off saying this. I had the 810 and the 800. The 800 was for essentially behind the scenes filming of us filming and setting up. We did some time lapse and all this sort of thing. But this is kind of new for Glenn as well. I think.
Absolutely.
You don't really shoot a lot of video up to this point.
No, this is a new experiment for me.
Do you find that you have... have you got the bug almost yet?
I loved it. And actually, in this environment that we're in now, which is, you know, this wood stand surrounded by this beautiful scene, it's actually been a joy to do some video out here. And overall, the experience today has been fantastic. And I think we've both got the video bug.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. I mean, I didn't dig out the manual and look at how to shoot video on this camera. I sort of had a rough idea and I thought, okay, well, I know how shutter speeds and apertures work.
I did a small Google.
But apertures and shutter speeds are slightly different. They have a different take on it when you're shooting video, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah. And obviously there's going to be cases where the camera setup, you're going to have to go and get lots of different shots, so low shots, long shots, and you've got to have that structure in your head as well of how that video is going to play out. We were saying earlier about should we have storyboarded this day from terms of video, and we kind of freestyled and we'll see what happens.
Freestyle, I like that, yeah. Because there were several things that we were looking to accomplish. One was we wanted to record an audio podcast for you guys, which we're doing. The other thing we wanted to do, I wanted to put something up on the YouTube channel, the Active Photographer YouTube channel, just to say, look, I'm in production, as it were. I'm trialing, testing, thinking about the logistics of how we're going to be doing the video version of the podcast. And it's considerations like, you know, this Glenn and I are in a kind of a very tame environment, as it were. If I was out shooting down by the beach, or if I was sort of talking to you guys when I'm coming back from a shoot in the car or something like that, I've got to think about, Glenn won't always be there with me, so I've got to think about how I'm going to film it, the audio, how that all puts together. So we thought, whilst it's a fine day and it's the rain's pretty much stops now, I think we kind of got away with it, maybe, so far. Yeah. So we kind of found a nice log, and I sat there and I had the audio recording into a separate audio recorder. The video, the cameras were rolling, and so thinking about that sort of thing. So that was something to do. So we had the audio podcast, we had the test video, which was less than a minute, I think.
Yeah.
So came in just under a minute. Probably doesn't need much editing, I think.
I don't know, you had four takes.
Shh, we don't tell them that. We had four takes to get the perfect one that doesn't need editing. So, but that was, to be fair, in my defence, we were just about to record and then there was a couple walking, mucking around trying to take selfies in amongst the bluebells. Mm-hmm. Then there was an aeroplane. Then there was something else going on. And so, you know, I think I did it pretty well, considering.
In the end, it was
good. In the end.
No script.
No script. Well, that's the thing. So that's the other thing is, you know, do I think about sort of auto cue software for, you know, just off camera for sort of like the intro, the outro, you know, to keep the structure that you guys are used to? I don't know. You know, a few more tests and thinking about that. So there are those two things. But then whilst we were out there, out here, we thought, you know, let's just have fun. Let's shoot some film. Right now, let me clarify that. Let's shoot some video. We didn't bring film cameras with us. Nothing wrong with film. I'm actually getting quite into film again at the moment. That's a whole other podcast. But, you know, it's just sort of frame up some shots. I mean, your approach, thinking, because, of course, we were looking at everything through the live view screen, yes, as opposed to through the viewfinder. Yeah. So,
again.
So in what sense, when you were composing a shot, because I know what I was looking for, and you went off and did your thing. What were you looking for with setting up those shots?
I suppose I was looking for different ways to compose that shot when you're looking at it in video. Mm. So, you know, I was playing around with some focusing and pulling the focus and all sorts of things like that. But
punching above his weight for a first time out.
Absolutely. But of course, I mean, you know, we're always in landscape format as well. It was really interesting to see how I would adapt to that type of composition.
And it's funny, I'm so used to watching wildlife and landscape and nature documentaries and films and what have you, and it is a craft and an art to itself. But, you know, I was doing some stuff where I was picking out in amongst all this woodland some really nice looking trees or clusters of bluebells, what have you. And there, at one point, just by fluke, there was a bee buzzing around, which I don't know if the focus was correct, but remain to be seen. But again, for me, it was nice to see if I could get some movement in what is essentially a static scene. And it's been a pretty still day. But the idea for that, the outcome of that from today, is I want to put together a very short little film, might be a minute, might be a couple of minutes, I don't know yet, just kind of behind the scenes, interlaced with some of these nice composed shots, and just see what you guys think, because it's just a bit of fun, really.
Because that's the interesting thing. So the video, actually out filming the video, is half the story. Mm. We've now got to do something with all this footage.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to take a long time to do. Mm. But, that's all part of the experiment. Mm. With all of the clips that we've videoed today, once we get in front of the computer and start looking at these clips, it's going to become very apparent whether we need to do other shots next time, or, you know, we need to do things a lot differently next time.
And, you know, because because this is early days, everything is, you know, we have some pretty good kit here today, but in many ways, a lot of it is very kind of basic, not Heath Robinson, but it's very kind of, you know, simple, let's just try it. So, for example, on the DSLRs, we don't have focusing loops on the back of the screen. We don't have external monitors to view. We don't have focus pulling devices, anything like that. Even with the audio, I had my sort of like tie clip style microphone on my top here. I'm looking to upgrade that anyway. Nothing wrong with the one I've got at the moment, but I just would like to up the ante a little bit, as I'm going to be doing more of this. So the one that I have got is, you know, it's a Sony one, but to remove any noise from wind blowing around, I had some like fake fur that you can get in like haberdashery. You just wrap
it. Wasn't the beard.
It wasn't the beard. No, I could just nestle it in my beard. But I just use a rubber band to keep that in place, which has worked in the past. It just doesn't look very pretty. So if you're trying to produce deliver a more professional product, as it were, something I did actually say in that little video that I filmed was, you know, I'm not going to over polish everything. That's not what you guys want. You want the reality of being out walking through the woods, all the rest of it. So I then have to think about, you know, if I'm going to be filming me walking along saying, oh, I'm on my way to do this, I'm just heading off here, am I going to combine the nice footage, as it were, with the what you might call a handy cam footage? And Glenn's kind of got his own thoughts about this. And I think we agreed that, you know, it's okay to mix the two.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, whether it's on your handheld camera, doing those little B shots, or just, those beautiful cinematic panoramas on a tripod.
That's a good point, actually, talking about the cinematic. You know, you look at the menu system, the structure on your camera, and you talk about shooting film, it's like a shopping list.
It is.
And whereas, you know, in Europe, it's 25 frames a second, tends to be the standard. Mm-hmm. If you go to 24 frames a second, that has more of a cinematic feature film look, and hey, we all want to aspire to that, right? So we decided to shoot in 24 frames a second. Again, we sat down, we set the tarp up in case the weather turned, and we said, right, we might come away from this with nothing. The focus might not be right, it just may not gel. Mm-hmm. You know. Yep. Yep. But then you've got to be willing to take these chances to just experiment.
And it's a good excuse to get back out here and do it again.
Absolutely. So, you know, we might have wasted a day mucking around in the woodland, or it might be that actually we come away with something half decent that we're happy with, and we've had a really nice day.
Absolutely. And I've had a great day.
Oh, I certainly have. We, you know, of course we brought, brought some lunch and some tea and coffee making facilities. It's all very, very nice, you know. Just to give you guys a very quick overview, this will be in the behind the scenes video as well. We've got a very lightweight tarp. It's about 325 grams. It's the one I always use. The poles that I'm using to hold the front end of it up are it's a new product from Manfrotto. It's the Manfrotto off-road series of trekking poles that have the threaded bolt on the top that allows you to use it like a monopod. Tripod wise, I was using the Manfrotto B3 carbon fiber tripod. That's on review, as is the Manfrotto off-road tripod, which is a very lightweight. It's not designed to take big heavy cameras, but you know, this is a perfect opportunity to experiment. Glenn has got in front of him a tripod which I've actually used a lot because I had it on review, and I think, Glenn, did you bought this?
I bought
after
this
my review, didn't you?
Off the back of your review, yeah. Saw this one, which is the Manfrotto Compact.
Yeah, and there's a whole string of letters and numbers. MKC3-H01. It's what they, at the time, called the video kit or something. It's got like a pistol grip type thing. It works pretty well. Still available, I think, or there's a new version. the cameras we've already talked about in there, but in the rucksack, which is a standard rucksack, it's a Low Alpine Airzone Pro 45 to 55, just all the things that go with what we're talking about. So audio recorder, lunch stuff, cameras, bits and bobs, and it's just a really nice simple setup. And Glenn's got even less stuff here, but that surely is what it's all about, heading out like this.
Absolutely, it's all you need. It's all you've needed today. Yeah. Sure, there's things you can upgrade, but yeah, essentially, it's just getting out here, doing hopefully some great video and having fun.
Absolutely, and you know, if and when we decide to kind of do something a bit more extended, obviously, definitely think about storyboarding so you don't waste any time. It's a bit like when you do a shoot, you have in certain situations you have a shot list and you tick them off as you go. You know, any extra bits along the way is a bonus. But yeah, it's just nice just to wing it, because there was nothing so serious, structured and everything today. And it might be that we need to bring a few extra items another time. So, for example, you know, that you can bring other sorts of clamps. You can, you know, maybe look into getting a focus viewer, like a loop to really check the focus and all this sort of thing. I would certainly bring a heavier tripod.
Yeah.
Because these lightweight ones are very good, and with certainly with the prime lenses and something like the D800, and even with the Canon, they're nice lightweight cameras. But I mean, Glenn, you've got other tripods as well.
Yeah, I've actually got a very old heavy film tripod, which I may have to drag along next time. It's a lot sturdier, but yeah, I think the other thing for me, I have two batteries for my Canon. And certainly I went through pretty much all of my first battery. So if we were out for extended length of time, then I may have to consider maybe another couple of batteries. But yeah, it's a work in progress, and definitely let's see how it goes.
Yeah, excellent. So hopefully that's been of interest to you guys. Like I say, it's very early days. You'll no doubt see all sorts of behind the scenes stuff through Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and possibly other podcasts, about this sort of thing as and when. Again, if you've got any questions, you can always ask as we go along, any sort of behind the scenes stuff you really want to see. But Glenn, for now, obviously, thank you for your help today. It's been really good. It's nice to kind of catch up along the way. The not so welcome today were these midges, which, although it's not humid today, they kind of have started to buzz around a bit, you know.
Yes, yeah, we're becoming dinner here, so we're going to have to move on pretty soon.
It's not the best thing to light a fire under here, but you know, you sort of smoke them out or something, you know, who knows. But there we go. So like I say, hopefully that's been of interest to you guys. Glenn, thank you very much for today.
Thanks Jos, and yeah, good to see you, and hopefully see you soon.
Good stuff. And for now, guys, I will leave it there. I'll be bringing you further updates about the video version of the podcast in due course, so be sure to keep an eye out for those. Okay, so about that special announcement I mentioned at the start of the show. You'll remember that I recently asked for your vote in the Simply Hike Blogger Awards. Well, I'm delighted to say that thanks to your help, The Active Photographer has now made it all the way through to the final shortlist in the outdoor photography category. Now, the final stage of voting is open until the end of the month, and I'd love it if you could spare a moment, less than 30 seconds this time, to again cast your vote. It's even easier than before. All you need to do is follow the link in the show notes or the one at the side of the Active Photographer website. This will take you through to the awards page. Once there, select the Active Photographer from the Outdoor Photography drop-down menu, enter your email and hit submit. It's that easy. And as I say, I really do appreciate your support. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.